You believe God answers prayer?
Amen.
Then get ready. Amen? You get ready. Get ready. You expect. You know, if you make an order to Amazon, you go into expectation mode. Hit that button. All right. You know, if you got Super Saver shipping, might take you a little while longer but to get that thing. But if you have, you know, an Express account or you got the next day because you really wanted that thing and you paid the extra $30 or whatever, you're looking outside. You're saying, hey, every time a car goes by, is that him? It's coming. I ordered it. It's coming. Right? So this morning we've come before God and we said, God, show us. I'm ready. Pour it on me.
Amen.
So here it comes. He's pouring on us. He's a good God. He is a faithful God. He is true. Thank you, Lord. Let's look on your sheet. We've read this several times. Not quite through here. The last several weeks we've been here. Psalm 107, 17. We're talking about that God delivers, and we've titled this, He Delivered Them. He delivered them. He delivered them. There are times in your life where you're looking and you're saying, I don't see how. I don't see the way through. God, I believe I'm doing what you told me to do, but I just don't see how this is going to come together. God has shown it over and over in His Word that He is faithful, that He is good, and we as His children, if we'll hook up with Him and be guided by Him, do what He says, He'll bring us through every time. This does not mean you have to get into dire straits and then He brings you out and then you got to get in dire straits. No, we don't want to live like that. But just as you're going on, we ought to just go up and up and up. And as you walk by faith, you will be challenged to stay in faith. Did you hear me? If you're going to make up your mind that you're going to walk by faith, Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Not hard, it's impossible. Now, a lot of people would not, they don't want it to be this way. You talk to some people, have you ever heard this? Well, prove to me there's a God. Prove it. If God's real, why don't He just make this chair move or knock this Bible off? Why don't He just show me? You know, you're telling somebody about God, or if you've heard it, skeptics, they'll say, if God's so real, you know, why don't He make this thing fly across there? Or if I'm going to drop it, you know, make it do whatever, any number of things. Why doesn't God do something to show me that He exists? He doesn't work like that. He's already created the heavens and the earth. Just you sitting there looking at me, you're looking at me with eyes. You're hearing me with your ears. Your body is a work of art. You don't have to think too far. You have to be talked out of it that your body was created or that had a design. You have to be talked out of it. Because I don't know about you, there is nothing that's sitting in my backyard that just happened. If I let my backyard go, it looks bad. If I don't mow it and keep it up, it does not look good. It doesn't tend towards order. No, we have a Creator. We serve a living God. And God does not operate to prove anything to anybody. He says, you come and the first thing you need to do is believe that I am. And that I'm a rewarder of those who diligently seek me. God's not going to do any more proof than He already has. He sent His Son to die for us. He sent His Son on this earth to testify of who He is and to testify that He had come for a purpose. And we have the choice whether to believe that or not. You hear me? You have a choice on whether to believe that. Has anybody in here seen Jesus with your physical eyes? Anyone? But if you're a Christian, you believe He exists. Why? Because you've heard a testimony of somebody. There are anybody on earth left that saw Jesus in the flesh. All those people have gone on. Yet we believe it. Somehow. Somebody told us. We read it in the Word for ourselves. Somehow we came to the saving knowledge and we chose. Did you hear me? We chose to believe that it's true. Somebody says, well, I just can't believe that. No, that's not true. You're choosing not to believe that. You're choosing not to believe it. Believing, people say, seeing is believing. No, it's not. That's completely wrong. Seeing is not believing. You got to believe before you see. If you see it, what is there to believe? There's nothing to believe. No, believing, when you say you believe in somebody, that's before they have proven that they can do whatever you're saying that you believe in them for. Your children, I believe in you. What you say, I believe good things of you. Amen. And as we come to God and you walk through this earth, if you're going to walk with Him, you are going to walk by faith. Because that's the way He set it up. And you can look over and over in the Word that He shows examples of people that were doing what He said. And when they did what He said, they were challenged. They had an opportunity to either believe Him or to turn away and say, I can't be. And we all have that choice. As we walk with Him and walk through this earth, we are going to be challenged. Our faith will be stretched and challenged, but it can always hold true. He will not let us be tempted beyond what we can bear. If we'll walk with Him, your faith is going to be tested. Just settle that. Just settle it. My faith will be tested. That's not the time to give up. That's the time to hold firm. That's the time to press in and say, God is true. I don't care what I see. God is true. And that's why we need to know the Word and we need to know what He's telling us. Look on your sheet there, Psalm 107. So we read this several times. It says, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and His wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 20 says, He sent His word and healed them and delivered them. We spent some time on that. He delivered them. And then He's talking about fools, people that disregarded God. They got into trouble, but if they cried out to God, God still saved them. Because He's a merciful and a good and a gracious God. Don't ever let the enemy tell you there is no hope for you. That's a lie. It doesn't matter where you are, not in the littlest thing or the biggest thing, not when you think all hope is lost and I don't know how I'm going to put these pieces back together, to I don't know how I'm going to get my day back on track. Don't entertain any of it. Those are lies. No, God says, I'm a merciful God. I'm a gracious God. And if you look to me, I'll bring you through. Do you think God ever just is stumped on something and says, well, I don't know. You've blown it too bad. Go see somebody else because I can't help you on this one. Can you see Jesus going, you did what? I cannot, I'm sorry, but I didn't sign up for this. I'm going to the mountains to pray. Can you see Him doing that? Can you see, if you came to Jesus, Him being just frazzled? Oh, you did what? No, you can't imagine Jesus doing that. When His life was threatened, when He was going to the cross, yeah, He was sweating blood. But He didn't go berserk. Think of what He was going through as a man on this earth at that point. Think of that. That is not just a made-up story. Our Savior knew what was coming down the pike with Him. He knew what they were going to... Can you imagine just going through a thousandth of what He did that day? I don't even want one strap like with that thing. If you guys have seen The Passion of the Christ, that's very realistic and probably not bad enough. But you see the strap that they brought out that had chunks of metal in it? I don't want one hit with that. I don't know about you. I don't want to be hit with one of those things ever. Let alone beat till you can't recognize me. I don't want to walk 10 feet with that cross on my back, let alone all the way to the cross. I don't want the things that happen to you when a person is crucified. There's accounts of what happens physiologically, what's going on in your body and what shuts down and the things you go through. It's excruciating. But he did it. And he didn't freak out. He could have run at any time and said, I'm doing this for who? And they're going to do what? And they're going to spit on me? I'm not doing it. But he didn't do that. He's not rattled. Our God is not flaky. And he's not a wimp. He is the king of the universe. And when you come to him and serve him and say, I'll do what you say, you are a strong person. Because society is not doing this as a whole. They're looking around saying, God, what God? Show me. Weak. He's not going to show anybody anything. He's the creator. You answer to him. You either decide to do it on his terms or not. He's given every person what they need to come to him. And we all have a choice. And if somebody's going to be stubborn, say, show me. That's not going to fly with him. No, he is strong. He is not easily pushed off of anything. So when we come to him and say, God, I blew it. He said, yeah, I know it. I saw that coming. Here's what you do. Here's what you need to do. Here's what you do. This, you'll get out of it. I'm not saying we'll never have any consequences to our actions. There are some things you do, and there's some stuff to go through. That's why we want to do our utmost to live a godly life and to teach our children. There are things you just don't want to have to deal with. But in spite of that, even if we mess up and we don't do everything right, there is still hope for us.
Hallelujah.
There's hope for a murderer on death row. Mm-hmm. If they'll change their life around, things can be different for them. Heard an account recently, Kenneth Copeland was talking about this guy that got saved in prison. And he just took to, he got saved and got on fire, and he just took to ministering to these men in prison. And to where they paroled him, and he was like, I don't want to go. This is where I'm supposed to be. I'm ministering to these people. I'm helping them. I don't want to go. They had to convince him to get out of jail. Seriously. He believed, no, this, he had a proper perspective. He said, I'm more free in here than I ever was when I was out there. I am more free because I know the King of the universe. I know him. I know what he wants me to do. I know what it's all about. If we could get that perspective and realize that it's about him, that he is the King of the universe, that as we look to him, he'll show us what to do. He'll bring us through everything. And that we can look then when we're in the middle of something, we won't completely get down and distracted about what is going on around us. We'll have the perspective that God can see me through this. He can bring me out. He always has an answer. Jesus was not rattled, and he's not rattled today. He's already seen ahead and made provision. Did you hear me? He's already seen ahead and made provision for your life today, now. Every circumstance that I don't know about, but he does. He says, I know how to take care of that. Did you know the U.S. economy and the global economy, God knows exactly what needs to happen? Bring us right out of everything.
Hallelujah.
He's not perplexed. Experts gonna disagree and say, well, I just don't know how we're gonna do this, and this might work, and we'll do this. God already knows exactly what needs to happen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Exactly. There is no problem that is too big for him. And as we walk with him, if we'll get this perspective, that I walk with the Almighty. He's my Father. He's my God. And as I go through, he's going to tell me to do some things. And no matter what it looks like, if he told me to do it, it's only going to be good on the other side. Period. If I'll get that attitude, then when things look like they're not happening the way I think they ought, we'll come back to, yeah, but I know him. Yeah, but I'm walking with Him. Therefore, it's going to be right. Therefore, it's going to be good. We read some of this last week. Let's turn over to Exodus. Exodus 13:17. Everybody there? It says, then it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the way in the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. Now, we said some of this last week, and we're not going to recap all that. But notice, He didn't lead them in the easiest way. Did you see that? What does it say? That God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. He purposefully led them in the other way. He said, why did He do that? Well, He had a good reason. Look what He said. Lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. So God led the people around the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. He led them in this way specifically, even though it didn't look like the easiest way. Will God do that today? Yeah, He has a reason for everything. Now, I'm not saying He's playing some kind of cosmic game and just, well, let's see what happens here, and like He's got you, you know, like a marionette. No, but He will lead you in the best way for your life, and He knows what's coming down the pipe. He knows what you need. Just like you train up your children, just like if you've ever played sports, you're going to be trained to do certain things before you're trained to do other things. If you can't handle the easy things and the basics, you're not going to be able to handle the complex plays or moves, especially if there's pressure on you. You know, kids, you ever dealt with somebody that's just learning how to play a game or learning how to play an instrument? Well, I want to do the really fancy stuff. If they're learning how to play the electric guitar, I want to play like, name their favorite, you know, person. I want to play the drums like this. You know, I want to play soccer like Messi. Or, you know, I want to hit like Big Pop. But they have no clue how to do the first steps. And you can try to explain to them, look, you need to do this before you get over here. Because if you try to do this over here before you know how to do this, it's not going to work. And if you're dealing with sports and you have pressure coming on you, you may think I can do this move and I have it down great, but that's in your backyard when there's nobody but mommy outside. Look, mom, let me fake you out. Great. And she's like, ooh, that's awesome. You really got me. But the guy on the other team isn't going to be so nice. And then you try it on him and he smashes you, you know, stuffs you and be like, you know, get out of here. Bring that back later. You try it again, boom. What are you talking about? You don't know. Well, in life, if we're coming down and we think, ooh, I'm really great at this and I can do this, and we're saying, God, let me do this, he's going to say, buddy, you're going to get squashed if you try that right now. Just do what I told you to do, because that's how you're going to get to where you need to be. If you go here, I don't want you to go over there, because if you go that way, even though it looks easy, you're going to go AWOL. You're going to lose everything. You're not going to be able to handle it. So I'm not going to do, oh, but God, I see this is really, let's just do this. He knows what, if just listen to the Spirit of God. He knows why He's not leading you that way, and He'll do what He needs to do that's necessary to get you in the right place.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. This is about trust in His character. Your flesh will not like this. When I say flesh, your natural self, your natural mind will not like this. It wants the easy way, the quick way, give it to me now, I want instant stardom. You know, American Idol, I want to win it, and I'm there. That's the kind of stuff that people have. I think that's been a disservice that so many people seem to have it, can make it so young, that don't have the character really to walk in the things they get, but it looks like, well, see, it's easy. Now that's, you don't necessarily just want money, you don't want exposure, you want to have a good life that you're able to bear up under anything that's thrown at you.
Hallelujah.
I don't care how much money you have, if your home life's a wreck, you're not going to enjoy it. If you're going to get something at the expense of your health, you know, you spend all your health and you go and work so hard so you can get money, and then you spend all your money to try to retain your health. There's no point in that. No, God knows the right way to go that's going to help you, that's going to bring you up little by little, that's going to make you solid, that you're going to go up and have growth and solid growth so you don't have to backtrack. I don't like backtracking, do you? Good night. When you're driving and you take the wrong turn on the interstate in some, you know, place that you're not familiar with, and you realize it's going to cost you 30 minutes, that's not fun. It's like, I just had to go there. Why didn't I go there? Now I got to go here, and now I got to go all the way back. Now, 30 minutes later, I'm right where I was 30 minutes ago. And if I'm late already, that doesn't make me happy. But so many times we're in such a hurry to get, I want to get there, and God's saying go this way. But it's right there, but God said it's this way. But I can see it. Don't take the step that way. But I'm going to take it. It's so close I can taste. I'm going to do it. Yeah. Wrong. That's rebellion. And there's a reason why God's not telling you, he's telling you not to do that. And you don't want to pay the consequences. He knows if we'll listen to him. He'll bring us the right way, and we'll be solid and strong and secure. Now look down in chapter 14, verse 1. We read some of this. We'll go through some of this quickly and get to this next part. It says, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they turn and camp before Pi-Hahiroth between Migdol and the sea opposite Baal Zephon. You shall camp before it by the sea." He's setting them up. He knows what's going to happen. He knows. We know because we've read it before. But they didn't know. It seems so obvious to us. Well, if you were to look at your life from God's perspective, it's obvious too. And he knows exactly what to do. Just because you don't see it all, Don't look at it from your... I mean, think about this. This is so awesome that we're going through life, but we have the King of the universe that can communicate with us via our spirit, and he can tell us exactly what we need to know when we don't really know what's coming down the pike and get us exactly where we need to be, and it's not limited by our knowledge. That is awesome. That's awesome. We have a secret weapon. Satan can't push, he can't counterfeit the inner witness. He can't counterfeit what God's telling you. If God tells you to circumvent something, he could have a booby trap for you behind that wall. And you think, that looks really good, and God's saying, no, go this way. No, go this way. Amen. We're spending a lot of time here, but I think somebody's trying to go for this, and it looks easy. And you just need to know, you don't need to go over there. You need to go where God's telling you. I've never been in the military. But if there's a setup where somebody in a helicopter or somebody that can see a lot broader and you can see, you're on the ground and going through a cavern and you're saying, yeah, we should go this way. And the guy on the radio is saying, no, you don't want to go that way. There's something behind there. Go this way. You better listen to the guy that's telling you that has the visibility, right? That's not the time to test out whether you know everything. You think, no, I think this is the best way. That can get you killed. Okay, it's the same thing in life. Sometimes we want something. We think, I really think this is the way. And then we deal with stuff we didn't have to deal with if we would have listened to him. He is good, and he's patient, and he's kind, and he has a good plan. And if we'll trust that, he'll take us through. Verse 3, for Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, see, he knows what's going to happen. Notice this, he knows. Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land. The wilderness has closed them in. Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them. And I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. So they went in the way God told them to go. And we're not going to, you can read it later on your scripture sheet. We're not going to read all through the rest of that part. But they got to the sea, and you know the story. Pharaoh's coming down to get them. And they don't see any way out. Now they're realizing what the situation is. We all have heard this. But think of it from their perspective. They're going, what are we going to do now? We're cornered. But God said this is what's going to happen. He told Moses. So our response, the Israelites' response in this situation was, what the heck? You brought me here. I'm dead now. There's no way out. What's going on, God? Why did you bring us here? This is wrong. I can't believe we're here. We could have just stayed in Egypt where we had it all cozy and sit there in slavery, but be a lot better here. At least we're alive. Now we're going to die. Why'd you bring us here? And you will hear similar stuff. We've talked about it before. The devil has not changed. He's going to whisper in your ear, what, God brought you here? What, to get destroyed here? Wasn't it better back wherever? In the last thing you did. He always make it look better where you were. If you're following God, he's always going to just make it look like God did something wrong. And try to get on God's case, and that's his tactic. That's wrong. But the Israelites were upset. And Moses told them, look at verse 13. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. So we said that God, through Moses is telling them, look, just be still, watch what God's about to do. He didn't lead us here accidentally. He led us here on purpose. Now, I'm talking about when God leads you. I'm not saying God did everything in your life. If you've gotten yourself into a fix, you need to go and say, God, I know I messed up. You were not telling me to do this. I did it anyway. Now, God, show me the way out. That's one scenario. But here, if God has told you to do something, and you know it was him, and he told you and led you, that is the time we need to gird up and say, God, you told this to me. I've heard you. I'm staying with you. You will come through. He will come through. He will bring you on the other side. This is not the time to say, oh, I don't know where God is, and sit on our hands. This is different. Now, we did not make this mess ourselves. We believe that God has led us and that we heard him and we're going on. At that point, you need, no matter what you see, to stick to what you heard and be strong. And say, God, because I don't know about you, but you'll go through, I can say this, as you walk by faith, God is going to tell you to do certain things. And it may look at the beginning like, oh, okay, yeah, I'll do that. That's easy. I'm going to walk that way. And as you get into it, you realize what is really entailed. And you're tempted to back out and say, I miss God. I'm not going that way. This will happen over and over. Unless you make up your mind that if God told me it, he has good plans for me. I'm going through. If it's in his word, I'm doing it this way. I'm going through. And you just stay there. And regardless of what the pressure comes on you or what you see, you stay there and you will see the salvation of the Lord over and over. He will bring us through every time and higher and higher. And you'll get through and say, glory to God. I can see more now. I can see how he brought me through that. And then you go through another one. You get stronger. Look at Exodus 14, 26. Exodus 14:26. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians on their chariots and on their horsemen. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained. But the children of Israel had walked on dry land. Do you realize this happened? This is not just some story. This happened exactly the way it's saying here. There was a wall of water on either side, and these people are walking through it. We serve a mighty God.
Hallelujah.
We serve an awesome God.
Yes, we do.
And if you'll just look to him, he will do stuff for you. He will move things for you. Just stay on his side. Don't be moved back. But the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Verse 30, so the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is good, and he brought them through. Thank you, Lord. Turn over to John 10:27, I think we can close here. John 10:27. Actually, before you go there, hold your finger there and go back to John 2. I think we ought to do it this way. John 2. So hold your finger in John 10. Go to John 2, verse 1. John 2, verse 1. It says, on the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding, and when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. Jesus said to her, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, whatever he says, do you do it. Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And then you know the story, the water was turned to wine, and it was really good wine. But notice, in verse 4, he said, his mother said, whatever he says to you, you do that. This is the way out. This is the way to follow God. Whatever he tells you to do, you do that. It doesn't matter if it looks like the easy way. It doesn't matter if it looks like the hard way or the impossible way. If he tells you to do it, that's what we do. That's what the Israelites did. Moses was leading them. If it were up to them, they would have backed out and they're running. But he did what God told him to do. He stretched out his hand when it looked impossible and they went over on dry ground. When God tells us to do something, that's what you do. Whatever it is, this is the key. Whatever he tells you to do, this will this is how we live our lives, but this is how you get out. If you ever get yourself into a fix and you know you messed up, you know you went the wrong way, you know you did what you weren't supposed to do, come back to Him and say, God, you show me how to get out and I'll do it. And then whatever He tells you do that and it's going to work. Every time.
Amen.
And if we'll come back and look at what He told us to do, if He told you to do something and you're having second thoughts about it and you're saying, yeah, God, with everything I know, I believe this was you, but I just don't see how this is going to work out. That's the time to go back and say, God, but I'm going to do what you told me to do. That's not the time to start questioning like the Israelites. They were doing what He told them to do. It didn't look good. That's the time to say, but you said, all right, I'm expecting to see something change here. This doesn't look good, but I heard you. This is what you said. In their case, you know, they had supernatural direction. But God, I believe you, and you are going to show me what to do. Now go back over to John 10. We'll close here. John 10, verse 27. You say, well, I just don't know if I can hear the voice of God. How do I know if it's God or if it's not? What am I supposed to do? Well, look at verse 27. It says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Amen? Does that applies to us, right? We're His sheep, we're His children. What did He say? Well, you just don't know if you can hear the voice of God. No, what did He say? My sheep hear my voice. That means we do. We hear His voice. We hear His voice. Say, I hear the voice of God.
I hear the voice of God.
Say it again. I hear the voice of God.
I hear the voice of God.
And I follow His voice.
And I follow His voice.
Amen. It says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Say this, I follow the voice of God.
I follow the voice of God.
I make good decisions.
I make good decisions.
I make right decisions.
I make right decisions.
I'm following the plan of God for my life.
I follow the plan of God for my life.
Amen. Do you believe that?
I do.
Because He's speaking to every one of you and us in this room right now.
Amen.
He doesn't hang people out and say, well, you know, I don't think I really want to talk to you today. I don't like you. Some people think that. They think God's up one day and down another, and that's not the voice of God. That's the adversary impersonating His voice. Well, you really ought to. If you hear something that's condemnation or beating you up, that's not God. Conviction is one thing. If you feel remorse over something and you need to get it straight with God, obey that. Get it right. Confess it and come back and say, God, I blew this. I know I messed up. Forgive me. But once you've done that, if you hear, boy, you shouldn't have done it. You really messed up. That's not God. Because God's forgotten about it. He's forgotten about it. He's put it behind Him. So if you hear that, that's the enemy trying to take advantage of you at this point. And he will if you let him. And some people are completely discouraged because they've listened to the voice of the enemy and they feel like they can't do it anymore and they feel so discouraged and everything they do doesn't go right and they think it's God and it's not, because that's not the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God's an encourager. He's a helper. He's not a pushover. You don't try to just do whatever you want and then say, oh, well, it doesn't matter. No, it matters. But once your heart's turned towards Him and your heart's right, He's not going to be beating you down. That's not Him. That's not Him. I said that's not Him.
That's not Him.
We just need to center up and say, no, that's the voice of God's going to encourage me. He knows what you did. He's forgotten about it. So you should too, and get up and just go with Him and say, God, now you show me. I hear your voice now. I hear your voice. I hear your voice. And when I hear it, just like we said when we prayed, I'm a doer. I'm quick to do it. I'll do it. I'll do what you tell me to do. No, He said, My sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. And notice this, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. No, if we're walking with Him, if we're walking with the power of God in His hand, nobody can get in there and take us out.
Hallelujah.
If we walk under His protection and not close to Him, that's why you don't want to mess with stuff that isn't Him. Don't mess with it. Don't see how close you can get to the line. Say, if that's the line, I'm going over here. Going this way. I don't want to be near that line. No. God, I'm going to follow You. I want the good things for my life. I don't want to mess with anything that could bring death. Verse 29, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all. Hallelujah. That's our Father. He is greater than anything. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Amen. Glory to God.
Glory.
So when we're walking down, number one, if we've blown it, we need to say, God, I blew it. Forgive me, I'm doing what You want me to do now. And get back on track and trust Him that He has a way to get you through. If we're walking with Him and we've done what we believe He told us to do, you stick there. And you say, God, You're going to keep bringing us through. It's going to be good. And I am going to see You bring us through this. I don't care that it looks like we're at a dead end. We're going through it. Because You don't lead anybody to dead ends. You lead people up. And so, God, I don't care. I'm just going to trust You right now and go into trust mode. Either way. Look to Him, follow His word, do what He told us to do, and we'll see His hand mightily in our life. Amen?
Amen.
Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank You today. We worship You today. We worship You today. Let's just raise our hands to Him. Lord, we look to You. We look to You right now. We worship You. We say You are the King of the universe. You are the Almighty One. You are the Creator. This is a good time just to get right with Him. If you've done something you know you shouldn't have done, it's bothered you, you have not. I'm not talking about something you already got right with Him. If you already got it right with Him, then forget about it. I'm not talking to you. Okay, don't look for something to beat yourself up. Not talking to you. But if there is something that you haven't brought to Him, you know, I blew it, I missed it, and I need to get that set, then do it right now. And it says just that simple. You bring it to Him and say, God, I blew it. God, forgive me. That was wrong. I'm going on from it now. I turn my back on that. Repent means to do a 180. Turn away from it. Not just to be remorseful. Some people say when you're repenting, you're just going, oh God, I'm so sorry. That's not repenting. Repenting is changing direction, saying, I did that, I'm not doing it anymore. If that's you, you don't have to say anything. Nobody has to know. You just make the adjustment right now. You just say, God, I blew that. In fact, everybody just say this together, regardless if you missed it or not. Just say this together, and then people can get it straight if they need to. Lord God, I come before You. Lord, I blew it in this area that You know about. Lord, forgive me. I turn away from that. I repent of that. And I thank You that I'm clean now. You said that You remove it as far as the east is from the west. So that's past.
So that's past.
That's gone.
That's gone.
You said You're not remembering it.
So I'm not remembering it.
I'm clean.
I'm
right with You.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Now, if there's something else, if you're getting pressure and you believe that you've done what you know to do, but you're getting pressure to get pushed off. Stuff's trying to push you off to get you to go a different way. That's a good sign you're probably on the right track. The adversary is trying to push you off, make you get let go of what God has for you. You need to gird up right now. You need to leave this service girded up and strengthened and committed and with your face set like flint, that you will not be pushed off, that you will not be discouraged, that you will keep on going with what He told you to do so you can see the fruit of it. You need to just make up your mind, make it up in your heart, commit to Him and say, God, I'm not changing, I'm not moving. I'm going on with You. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord God. Thank You, Lord God. Pray, I believe there's just things that just got righted. There are things that were averted right now. There are things that were coming down the pike that if certain individuals had kept going that way, they would have been destroyed or things would have been hard for them. There are people that were about to give up or they were thinking about moving on to something else and they just averted by, because they got strengthened. Things are changing. Hallelujah. The future is changing. Our decisions matter. Our decisions matter. Our choices matter. Glory to God. Lord, we worship You. We say we will do what You would have us to do. Hallelujah. Say this, if you can, if you let your heart agree with it. Lord God, I'll follow You. I'll do what You tell me to do. I'll live the way You want me to live. I'll train my family to live the way You've told me in Your Word. Lord, I won't move to the right or the left, but I'll stay on the path that You've given me. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Just worship Him. Just praise Him. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to You, God. Glory to You, God. Glory to You, Lord. Glory to You, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. God is good. Thank You, Lord. God is good and His mercy endures forever. For the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. For the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. Say that once after me. For the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. One more time. For the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. One more time. For the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. 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 He is a good God. He is an awesome God. Thank You, Lord Jesus.